Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Tanya the Communication Doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do. Hi, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have Mildred Talabi, and Mildred Talabi is a LinkedIn visibility coach. Hello, Mildred.
Hi, Tanya. Good to be here on the show with you.
I'm really excited to interview you today, actually, Mildred, because I feel that you have a really powerful story, and I really want to share it with my audience. So, thanks for coming on today. And I'm going to start by asking you, what's important to you about, why is it so important to you to be a visibility coach? Why is that important to you?
Okay, sure. So to answer that question, I have to take you to my background, my career background. So I trained as a journalist and I worked in the media for a while. And then I diversified to PR, communications. But in between, I set up a business, a CV makeover business, where I essentially did the CVs and LinkedIn profiles of mid to senior level professionals who wanted to get new jobs, and also for business people who wanted to attract clients with their LinkedIn profiles. But anyway, so earlier this year, and it was all of this, it's kind of, you know, your life is like a journey and your career path is like a journey. And I've been following my career path as a journey, you know, where it leads me. And it's kind of led up to this place whereby I feel like everything that I've learned about from my journalism and PR days and communications about being visible and how that helps to grow your brand and that how that helps to promote your business and that how that helps to make you a spokesperson, an advocate, whatever cause it is that you want to champion, visibility is the key to making that happen, you know. So it's bringing all that together, and then also LinkedIn as a platform itself is an excellent platform that it's actually quite undervalued by a lot of people in business, surprisingly, because they don't understand how it works. But it's a great platform where you have this network of people who are mainly coming together for professional purposes and looking to engage with other people at a professional level. So if you bring the two together and you're somebody who's in business, because that's what I specialize in, I work with women entrepreneurs especially. But if you're someone who's in business and you really use LinkedIn as a platform where you make yourself visible in your space, you're really going to be in a position where you start to attract your ideal clients to you, you know, which will help you have the income that you want for the life that you want. Because ultimately, that's the goal. We want to live a certain kind of life, and having the right kind of income helps with that, and having the right kind of clients help with that process. So that's essentially why, for me, I think visibility is important, and LinkedIn is the platform for business people to really get visible so you can achieve those goals.
Thank you, Mildred. And it's interesting, you know, from a professional perspective, that's important to you. But it's also important to you from a personal perspective. It's almost like this. A couple of weeks ago, you shared a story on LinkedIn, which I'd like you to share with my audience in a moment. And I believe in the power of real stories. This is why I do this show. And I believe from a marketing perspective, when you share your story and when you are real, people connect with you, because I think you'll probably agree with me. I do believe that you are your brand to a certain degree. And if you walk the talk, that really kind of contributes to a lot of the work that you do. So would you like to talk to me through one of the challenges that you have had in your personal life that has led you to this point now that you feel like, you know what, I can now support others?
Yeah, absolutely. As I think I'll reference what you mentioned, but yeah, I do agree that your personal brand, you know, especially if you're in a service business, is absolutely vital. And what that personal brand is, because a lot of the time people say personal brand and not really break down what that means. But essentially is people buy into who you are. You know, they don't just buy into what you do, they buy into who you are. And in order for them to buy into who you are, they need to get to see who you are. They need to know you, like you, trust you, you know, as the phrase goes. So, and the way to do that is to really be yourself. And it's as easy and as hard as that sounds. It's to be yourself, is really to bring yourself to the table. And for me, recently, as you mentioned, I shared a story about myself that I haven't, it's not a secret. As I said, it's not a secret because it is out there, and it is on, at the beginning of the year, I started a blog, a personal blog, because I just wanted to express myself in writing form, you know, and talk about any and everything I wanted to talk about. So, and that story, or a snapshot of it mentioned, is on my blog, but I've never actually spoken about it publicly. In such a way. And it's the story of me overcoming a brain tumor, you know. And this is fairly recent, in that it was less than a year ago. It was in September, last September 2019, you know, whereby I went into hospital. I don't know if you want the full story of how it all happened, but, you know, but I'll give you the nutshell, which is I essentially went into hospital for and ended up staying there for an entire month. And it turned out I had a brain tumor, which had to be operated on, and I was in intensive care and all of that. And I came out of that experience, you know, having to relearn how to use my legs again, you know, and relearn how to, I couldn't drive. And that, for someone who'd driven for a long time, that was like taking away a big part of my freedom. It was, I probably cried at that point when the doctor was like, you're not going to be able to drive. I'm like, oh no, you know. But so yeah, I had to relearn certain things that I used to just do. And we all take for granted being able to wash yourself, being able to, you know, to bath solo, being able to walk properly, you know. And I've been able to do that. This September coming up will be my 1 year anniversary of being tumor free. So it's something that I'm excited. I'm excited about life. But as I did say in that what I shared on LinkedIn, I was excited about life before. So it's just, you know, having overcome this is I don't know, it's an additional, it's like you said, we all go through something, and sometimes just by looking at people on the outside, you don't know what people have been through or are going through privately. So I do think it's important to share our stories, but also at the right time, because up until now, I never felt like it was something I needed to talk about publicly up until I shared about it on LinkedIn. But now I feel like if it's going to help someone to know that, yes, I went through all of this and I came out of it and my business is now doing better than it's ever done before, you know, then sure, I want to talk about it as much as possible to help people, really.
You know what's interesting, just as I'm listening to you, Mildred, as you just spoke about your brain tumour, it's interesting, you know, you just said it, you know, you just, okay, I had a brain tumour, it's something that you went through, it prevented you from driving afterwards, and, you know, you took a little bit of a step back, and now you're stepping forward. And what you also said is you feel like your business is doing better than ever. And that's interesting, because in life, sometimes you have these challenges, and with these challenges, you grow. I feel like challenges and sometimes trauma helps an individual to really grow and go to that new level. And it's like you've gone through what you've gone, and now you are blossoming. But before you got to the hospital and discovered that you had a brain tumour, what I'm interested in is, where were you? What kind of space were you in before that? Were you happy? Were you unhappy? What was going on in your life before that happened?
Okay, so I'm married. I'm married to a wonderful guy. I've been with him and we have two kids. And one of the things, and I'm a person of faith, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, so I have all that inner peace, etc. So in terms of where I was in myself, I was actually in a good place, but physically, which is what led to the tumor eventually being what it is, physically, I had wrestled with headaches for a long time in my life.
Okay.
You know, and that was probably from my late teens. You know, it was something that plagued me on and off, like with migraines and headaches, like on and off for a really long time. You know, but then I got to a place where it was all okay, where I wasn't living off paracetamol, you know, where it's like, oh my God, I've gone a whole month without taking a tablet. This is great, you know? So it was literally like that. And then leading up to the brain tumor analysis, I woke up one day, it was May, you know, 24th of May, I woke up one day and I had this like banging headache. And if you think of the worst headache you've ever had, if you've ever had a headache, you times it by 100, you know, I had this banging headache and a banging neck pain. And it was just out of nowhere. And I thought, okay, maybe I slept badly. Maybe something happened. And, you know, and I was like, and I said to my husband, I've never had like a migraine like this before. So let me just sit out for a few hours. Maybe it will go away. It didn't go away. It didn't go away. That day didn't go away. The next day literally didn't go away for months. You know, to the point it was, I had to seek help. I went to A&E several times. I went to GPs, you know, I even went private. I went to an osteopath, you know, he did stuff with my neck, which gave me a temporary relief, but it just never went away. And at this point, the doctors realized, okay, something's going on, but they didn't know what. So they booked me for a neurologist appointment for November. We were in like May, June at the time. So this was like about 4 or 5 months away. You know, but I was living with this pain on a daily basis, and I was trying to go into work and function as normal, and I would get this banging, gripping headache and neck pain out of nowhere. I'd literally have to run into the toilet, you know, until it passes, and then I come back to my desk and people are looking at me like, okay, this girl uses the toilet a lot, you know. But again, it's that whole thing of you'd never know what people are going through, you know, because we often don't share these things, you know. So yeah, but after that going on for some months, one day I was driving into work. And by work, I mean, I've always kind of been self-employed and employed for up until this year. I had one foot in both worlds. I was working in communications as a communications manager for a charity at the time, part-time. So I was driving into work on this particular day. And as I'm driving on the motorway, everything just started blurring, you know, and I couldn't see the cars coming at me until they'd already gone past me. So I'm there like, oh my God, something's going on. I'm panicking and, you know, not panicking because I'm quite a calm and collected person. It takes a lot to rat on me, but I'm like, okay, something's going on. This is not right. And the worst place for this to happen is on a motorway. So if I can just get to work, then I'll get some help. Somehow I managed to get to work and I get into the car park. I'm barely legible by this time. I'm talking like incoherently. I tried to call the ambulance. I called one of my workmates, and next thing I knew, I passed out in the car park, and I woke up in the hospital. Yeah, and that was literally, and I ended up being, I went from that hospital that I woke up in, and they said, okay, we found something in your head, and it's quite serious, so we're going to transfer you to St. George's Hospital in South London, which specialise in brain tumours and stuff, you know. So I was like, what? You know, like, okay, just put me back on the drugs, like, whatever, it's fine, you know. And then I wake up at the hospital, they've called my husband by this time, and they were like, we're going to have to keep your wife in for a while because we found something, we're not sure exactly what it is, but there's definitely a tumour in her head and it needs to come out. So yeah, and then that was it.
How did you feel once that had been, because that must have been an incredible stress. It's interesting you saying you've always suffered from headaches, and that led you into realization that you had a brain tumor. And there's lots of different connections with headaches, if I, you know, from another level, but that's probably another podcast in terms of what headaches mean and what they represent. But just to go a little bit deeper, my love, you got to a point that, you know, you've been carrying this kind of heaviness for a long time, and then it got released. What changed once it got released? Did the headaches go away? What changed in your life when you went through that?
So this is, do you know, when I actually found out the diagnosis that it was a brain tumor, I was relieved. Mm. And it's weird because, like you said, it's like the headaches, as I said, it got on better. I'd lived with it on and off all my life, and it got better. It got manageable, more than manageable. I was actually doing better. I was doing well. I was going months at times without a pill, you know? And then when this horrible thing started, it was intense every day for months. I was living with this. So when they actually said there is something wrong, and not only is there something wrong, it's actually quite major. And when we fix this, you're going to be okay type of thing. Well, they didn't promise me I'd be okay because they can't guarantee that. But I felt relieved because it's like all the time I was going through it in the 4 months up until the diagnosis, I was like, I just want to know what this thing is and I want it out of my head because it was impairing me. Mm. I couldn't be a proper mum. I couldn't be like, you know, I'd be playing with my kids and it will grip me and I'll be like, okay, girls, just hold on a minute. Mum is just having a big headed thing right now. You know, it's like it was really literally impairing my life. So the diagnosis was a relief for me, you know, and then it was like, and then after the operation, even though I had to have this time to recover, etc., it was like, at least this problem is now dealt with once and for all. You know, because those 4 months was worse to me than the actual tumor, you know, than the fact that I had a tumor. It was like, imagine if I have to live with this for any longer. It was that kind of intense pain. If you've ever experienced any level of pain and multiply the intensity, you know that it's like, it's awful to live with, you know. So,
of course.
So, yeah, I think it's the relief. Relief was my biggest thing that first came. And then it was kind of like a shock because it was unreal because it's, you hear about people having brain tumors, you know, but it's always you're hearing about other people, you're watching it on TV, but it's never the kind of thing you think would happen to you, you know? And so, and I had no references on how to deal with it. It's like, okay, what does that mean exactly? Does, you know, am I going to be able to speak? Am I going to be able to think? And, you know, like how am I going to be impacted? So there were a lot of questions and, you know, which eventually got answered, you know, but yeah, it was a strange period, I would say.
But how do you feel now?
100%, like, no, actually, it's the truth, 95% recovered, 95%, you know.
No, I think you're honest because like you say, if you're honest in life, there's no completion really, isn't it? Life's a journey, isn't it?
That's it, 95%. And then the remaining 95% is like this, I got pins and needles in my legs, you know. Yeah, but they're quite light, but they're constantly there in the lower parts of my legs. So that's my reminder of this. I'm hoping they too will go away because they were a lot worse initially, you know. And then, so yeah, that's why I say 95%. But in terms of everything else, I'm fitter now than I was before because I part of my recovery, I went back to running again, you know, I used to do all of that kind of things and went back to paying better attention to what I eat and what. So I'm actually in a better place and I have not, the biggest one probably, I haven't had a headache since, you know. Yes, for me to go this long without, it's like I'm free from that have plagued me all through my adult life. It's like, I don't have it anymore and that's amazing to me and I'm so grateful for that every single day I wake up.
I think that's amazing in itself. I mean, I'm sorry about the leg situation. That might be something different. But the fact now that you're headache free, that gives you, because it must be hard when you're having headaches all the time. Because sometimes when you're having headaches, even though I'm a person that meditates, and when I go into my space, I can feel so much clarity. So I suppose with you not having the headaches now, it probably enables you to think a little bit clearer. And to have that space and take time out to do the things that you're doing. So what's exciting that you're doing now? So give me something that you're doing now that you're quite excited about.
Oh God, I'm excited about my life, to be honest. And this is what I alluded to before. It's like why, in terms of why the brain tumor didn't define me, because I already had a life that was worth living for me. You know, I have my husband, I have my kids, I have my family. And also another thing that really happened that was amazing during this whole brain tumor experience, the way everybody just kind of pulled together around me and my family was amazing. I'm talking, I'm not just talking my family, I'm talking, you know, church groups, even my neighbors. Yeah, because there was a point I literally couldn't walk my own daughter to the nursery alone because of, yeah, because I could potentially collapse, you know, on the way. So I had some of my neighbors walking with me, you know, and like checking in on me and all of that kind of stuff. So like the love, the community, the support, everything that I felt from everybody in this time, it was like priceless. You know, I had people, yeah, I had people telling me, I'm not a praying person, but I've been praying since you've been in hospital, you know, so, yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it, when people come together, when people show up in that way, and you feel like you're not alone, and it's so, because you can find family in everybody, can't you, really? We find family in another dimension, you know, in terms of your soul family, and I suppose people were showing up and helping you and supporting you, and that gave you, gives you more strength when you know that, you know, you can have some help, especially with having such young children have to go through that. That's quite intense as well, isn't it? Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my husband was just like amazing throughout all this, you know, because it's really under pressure. You know that who you've got and, you know, we've been through other stuff, but literally he had to single-handedly take care of the girls for like a month. You know, trying to do their hair. And this was, but my regrets at the time, I was like, oh, because my daughter, my older one, was just starting school, you know? So, yeah, and I missed the entire, that whole process of going to school, putting a uniform on the first time. I'm like, trying to FaceTime them blurry in hospital, like, oh, you know, how is school today and all that? But he had to take care of everything. So he was just like, revealed even more of what a real gem he is. So yeah, it's definitely so I guess adversity in that way really does bring up people's characters of the people around you and of yourself as well, you know, kind of shows you what you're made of, you know. So no, it's not the
I love that. I mean, I suppose, you know, it's lovely, you know, so that's what happens in life. You do have to switch roles sometimes, don't you, when you're in a couple and there's something that's, you know, that's not right, or to support each other. And it's just lovely when that support is played out in that way. And that's so important that you're able to kind of manage that between you. What's next for Mildred?
What's next? Well, Mildred has a book, another book coming out. Yes, I do have. I've written three books already. You know, my first two on careers, and then I have a third one, which is a children's book. But this one I've got coming out in September 2020. So it's about being visible on LinkedIn. Surprise, surprise. So really it's sharing the tips that I've learned, you know, and everything that I've learned about it, and really giving people strategies on how to use LinkedIn as a platform to be visible so that you can grow your business. So that will be launching in September. You know, and I've got programs that I do around LinkedIn visibility as well. I'm officially launching an 8-week program in September as well around LinkedIn visibility. So it's all very exciting. As I said, the business is doing so well. My business actually changed direction in this whole process. So that's part of the great things that's come out of this whole incident, is really having that clarity of this. How do I want to spend the rest of my life for now in terms of work, right? Do I want to keep one foot in the world of employment and business like I've been doing for so long, or do I actually want to go all in and do my own thing for myself, you know? And that, and it was the latter, is a decision that I made at this beginning of this year. So, and it's really paying off really nicely. So I'm very pleased about and excited about all of that.
That is exciting. It is exciting when you've kind of made a decision and you said you're going to get your book out and you're going to, you know, help people with regards to visibility on LinkedIn, and you are walking the talk now. You're doing it, you know, you're doing it yourself. And also it was probably about you finding balance, wasn't it? You know, balance in your life. And I suppose this enables you to work for yourself and to manage work-life balance with, you know, with family and everything else. And we do need that sometimes when you become a mother, don't you? That balance, you know, I think a lot of women need that, don't they? That balance between life. And that's what it sounds like you've come to us, what I'm hearing anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm building a business. I've built a business around the life I want and not the other way around.
Yes.
You know, so yeah. So I can have, like yesterday, we just randomly went to the park, you know, to teach the kids to ride their bike. So I can do that because I've that's my priority for building this kind of business and this kind of life, so I can spend time with my kids and my husband and, you know, and enjoy life a bit more. It's not just about working and earning money, although those things are very important. They give you the freedom.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing, Mildred. And I'm going to bring it to a close now, but I just love your story. I love your strength, because as I'm listening to you now, you know, you're a survivor and you've been through so much, and you're showing up and you're creating your business, as you said, as you want to, pushing forward, helping people with their story, helping people to be visibility, because visibility is important to you. So help people to be visible, sorry. And that's really important. So it's really lovely to kind of share your story with my podcast today. So I'm just going to say, from Tanya Communication Doctor and Mildred Talabri, adios. One of my takeaways from this show is that resilience is key, and having something worth living for is an interesting conversation. It's not a conversation that many people have. What do you have to live for? Because I feel that we have life, we have everything to live for. But it was interesting when Mildred said she knows she has a life worth living because she has her children, she has her husband, and that's something that has kept her going. It was also interesting that she had to unlearn everything that she'd learned after having the brain tumour. I also felt that it was really interesting that she had the headaches prior the brain tumour operation. So yeah, those are just things I'm just looking at and reflecting on, and just seeing her strength and wishing her well in her next steps in being more visible on LinkedIn and being more visible on social media, and also wishing her luck with her new book. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.